What's good, everybody? Pete Jensen here with my buddy Michael Leboff from the Action Network for the NHL and Action Network collab. Excited for a new initiative this upcoming season where we kind of take a look at the week ahead from a wagerer's perspective. Mike, why don't you tell some of the listeners who might be new to the betting front, you know, what they can expect from this collaboration this season?
Yeah, I think the mission here is to set you, the listener, up with as much, you know, actionable information for the week ahead. Teams that maybe are trending up, teams that are trending down that you might not see on the surface, but maybe their underlying metrics are pointing to something. We'll see some betting trends that we'll highlight. We could start right away. Like last year, we saw favorites and overs clip at an absurd rate when we talk about the NHL. 64.8% favorites clipped at last year. That's the highest we ever saw in our Action Network database, which goes back to 2005, 2006. And the over hit over 50% of games last year, which was the first time that ever happened in that time frame as well. So I guess the question right away is, are we going to see that again?
Yeah, I mean, so many 100-point scorers across the league, right? There were eight of them. A couple of them changed teams this offseason, so there's a whole impact of offseason moves and whether or not those couple guys, Huberto, Matthew Tkachuk, could, right, Johnny Gaudreau, can they sustain that level of production? And of course, from a team betting standpoint, you're looking at over-unders for the season, which teams are overvalued, which teams are undervalued based on their point totals, you know, from the book. So what are you seeing, Mike, in terms of that market and which teams heading into the new season, either from a season-long standpoint or something where you're looking for a team to have a hot start or a slow start? Who are you seeing as teams that jump out?
Yeah, I think one theme that we'll maybe be discussing this whole season is that the bottom has been raised in the NHL. The floor has definitely been raised. You talked about those offseason moves, the Senators, the Red Wings, even teams like the Sabres, like they got better. And just because a team might still not be considered a playoff contender like Buffalo, if they got better, that matters to from a betting perspective. Because last year, we know what happened with the Sabres. We know what happened with teams like the Devils. We know what happens to teams like the Ducks. But this year, if you think that those teams are going to take that step forward, even if like they're not on the kind of radar of the casual fan, like I don't think many people are going to be paying attention to the Seattle Kraken, but let's start with them. I think from a betting perspective, they're going to be underrated, and it's just because of what we saw out of them last year. But is it sustainable? Like we talk about unsustainable performances all the time, and usually we're talking about them as, you know, good ones, like Johnny Gaudreau's 115 point season. Is that a sustainable one? That was not an outlier. You can look at it the other way too. Philip Grubauer, minus 30 goals when you look at goals saved above expected. Is that sustainable? Absolutely not. Like he's going to be better. And I think the market is pricing the Kraken like the team they were last season and not the one they're going to be this season. So right away, we have a good spot to start. Wednesday night, they're playing the Ducks. They're a road underdog. I think the Kraken should be favored in that game.
No, it's a very fair point, especially when you consider, right, John Gibson got banged up over the weekend. Trevor Zegras, their prized possession in the forward group, of course, was banged up in the preseason. So all of a sudden, and then there's that impact where Ryan Getzlaff retired, right? So it's going to be a very different dynamic in the locker room, not having their leader, and also on the ice, not having that veteran savvy and face-off guy. So I like the play with Seattle for sure. And you mentioned Buffalo and Ottawa. They're actually going head-to-head on Thursday. That's one of my favorite games of the week, looking forward to. It looks like Buffalo is going to be keeping some of their young players to start the season. JJ Paterka, Jack Quinn. I know you're fond of both of those players from a Calder Trophy sleeper standpoint, but I'm also looking at the Buffalo Sabres. I didn't pick them to make the playoffs in my NHL.com picks, but I think there are a couple of numbers that are really intriguing. Like, you know, Buffalo over 78.5 points. You could get plus 470 on them to have 90 plus points if you think they're going to surprise and build from within, and plus 500 to make the playoffs and end their playoff drought. Those are big numbers for a team that is definitely trending in the right direction from down the stretch last season.
See, this is why I love betting, right? This is almost like a season preview. And who are the teams we're talking about? We're talking about the Seattle Kraken and the Buffalo Sabres. And I like the Sabres a lot this week too. Like, because the Senators, this is a perfect situational spot for a better. We know what the hype train with the Ottawa Senators is all about. DeBrincat, Giroux, Cam Talbot, the Jake Sanderson entering the lineup. There's so much love for the Ottawa Senators from a fan perspective, and that seeps into the market, so the market's going to react to it. Whereas the Sabres, like I said, like just because they're not supposed to be good, you put it out there, 5-1 just to make the playoffs. That's telling you right away, this team is much more than likely to finish close to 70 points to 90. But that doesn't mean they're not going to have betting value from a game to game perspective. So my on our podcast Line Change on the Action Network, our NHL betting podcast, we always talked about how the Senators punched up better than any team over the past two seasons as a big underdog. I think that's going to be the Sabres this year because they have very similar profile. They're young, they're feisty, and they have scoring upside. That's what the Senators had going for them the past two seasons. So I think this role is kind of, the Sabres are going to fill that role as the punchy underdog. And it's going to start kind of ironically against the Senators. And then there's another team that I think is worth betting against on Thursday night. And I'm an Islander fan, so I want to pass this one to you and not let my bias get in the way.
Right.
What do you think about the Florida Panthers and where they're being priced? They're being priced as a Stanley Cup favorite, 105.5 point over under, and one of the Atlantic Division favorites. I think that's probably a little too high. I think this team is actually maybe closer to like the third best team in the Atlantic than they are to the best team.
That's a fair point. I think losing Huberdeau, losing Mackenzie Weegar, losing Mason Marchment, right? There are other guys too that were departures. So I think it's there's going to be a drop off, at least in the regular season, from the Florida Panthers. And this is an interesting matchup because you see on one side an elite goaltender in Ilya Sorokin, who you would expect would get the start. On the other side, you see a defense that got worse without Weegar and still some decent goalies in either Bob or Knight. But honestly, like, I don't trust those guys that much. I think the Panthers will be coming down a little bit this year. And then the Islanders, even if they're still not a playoff team, they should be a little bit better, where they had all the forces, it seemed, working against them last year. So one team's coming down, one team's coming up. Should make for a great opening night matchup where I think the Islanders have a legitimate chance to win that game and start their season off with a bang. Remember how many games they lost to start last year on home ice? Maybe it's a time to christen the home arena here for the first time.
Yeah, and this is like another perfect spot of a team that's probably being priced where they were last year against a team that also is being priced of where they were last year. And that those aren't the teams that we're going to expect to see this year. We're going to expect, like you said, a bump and then a little drop. And those are the spots that you should have circled for the first week, for the first 2 weeks of the season. What teams are the market too high on? What teams are they too low on? And when they play each other, you're going to get value. Like, even though they lost both games, I thought the San Jose Sharks were the right side in both of the Global Series games against the Predators. Nashville last year, if we think back to the middle of last year, I don't think the Predators would have deserved to be a minus 200 favorite over basically any team on neutral ice, by the way, any team in the league. Maybe you can throw in like Arizona. I shouldn't say that. There were probably like four teams. The Sharks were not one of them, but right. those spots were probably the right, the Sharks were probably the right side, especially in that second game with the goaltending matchup we saw. So those are the spots I have circled the most. I think another one, a sneaky one, it won't be sneaky because it'll have a lot of media coverage, is the Battle of Alberta on Saturday night, where I think the market is a little too high on Edmonton. And if you listen to our preview episodes, you know I'm high on the Flames. I think Calgary is the better team than Edmonton, but I don't think it's going to be priced that way. I think Edmonton's going to be priced as a better team over Calgary. And I think the Flames will provide pretty good betting opportunity on Saturday night.
See, I think that the Oilers are going to be the better regular season team than the Flames this year. I think they'll have more points. I think they'll be a President's Trophy contender. I think you could look at awards market. They're going to be scattered throughout, whether it's Campbell or McDavid or, you know, anybody else in between for different awards. It's going to be fun to watch. And this is going to be a great start to the season for these two teams, because what great off seasons they've had. I mean, even since we last talked, Mike, Mackenzie Weegar got the extension in Calgary. Daryl Sutter, the elderly coach, gets a multi-year extension. So he's on board, tractor trailer and all, right? Like driving to the rink, like the water boy used to. It's pretty funny. But anyway, I think that the regular season matchup will favor a team like Edmonton, whereas come playoff time, down and dirty, the Flames will be the team that maybe could stretch the series to seven games this time and maybe even take it.
And then I just want to throw a couple more things that I've noticed in the market with the way the games have been priced that are piquing my interest a little bit. Los Angeles and Vegas, they play each other Tuesday night on the North American opening night for the NHL. And going into the year, if you look at the futures markets, their over-unders are separated by a point. Their to make the playoff odds are very similar. So the market's telling you these two teams are on equal pegging. But on Tuesday night, the Kings are just a very short, it's basically a pick-em, minus 115, minus 105, which tells you that the market is saying Vegas is the better team on neutral ice. I kind of disagree with that. I think the Kings should be maybe like they could be 50-50, or the Kings maybe are a slight favorite on neutral ice right now over the Knights. especially with like Nick Hague out and Vegas working in a new coach, there could be some funkiness. So I think the Kings as a short home favorite have some value against the Knight, but most people I think are disagreeing and would tell me, no, I like the Knights better from a season long, from like a bigger picture perspective than Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's a big opportunity for Vegas to remind people that they're still one of the top teams in the Western Conference. But I like the Fiala addition angle more than I like the Pacioretty subtraction angle in terms of the two offenses, if we are going to try to break the tie here for this matchup. So, and yeah, Cassidy should help them over the course of the season, but it's a tough spot. I think they're facing a deeper offense in LA, and if Drew Doughty's playing, like he's ready for the start of the season, like we anticipate after his long injury last year, I do still think the Kings have at least a slight advantage here. And then in the other matchup on Tuesday, two best goalies in the world, Rangers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's going to be must-see TV as well. The Rangers will be out for revenge on home ice. Do you think they get it? Do you think maybe the Rangers offseason was a little bit better, even though they lost some pieces? You think that their offseason was better than the Lightning's, Mike?
This line is actually kind of surprising me as well, because I thought the Rangers would be a little bit of a deeper favorite over Tampa for this game. It's at home. The Rangers should have some hype, but it seems like people have been throwing some cold water on the Rangers as we get closer to the season, which is really interesting to me, because I was, before the offseason really started with free agency and the draft, et cetera, I thought the Rangers were going to be very like overvalued, overhyped coming in. And that just hasn't been the case. And I think what a lot of people have kind of caught on to is that when the Rangers truly got better, it was after the trade deadline. Those 5-on-5 numbers started to improve with Kopp joining the team. When you delete those guys, and sure, like Trocheck comes in for Strome, that's a lateral thing, but they deleted Mott, they deleted Kopp, even Justin Braun gave their defense a little extra depth. Now we're talking about the Rangers basically pre-trade deadline, and that's how they're being priced. So I actually agree with this line that it's the Lightning would be favorites on neutral ice, but it's pretty close. The under, I think, is going to take a ton of money here. It's 5.5. This season is going to be the season of 6.5s and sevens, but not when Igor and Andre play, right? Like 5.5, the juice is on the under. I think it's going to close at 5. And it might be, last year, only two games closed with an over-under of 5. Both included the Islanders. It was one against the Canucks, one against the Kraken. The overcash in both. So this could be one of like 6 or 7 all season long that close at 5. And we're going to get it on opening night. Last year, overs clipped at over 50% for the first time in 15 years, like I was saying. And I have nothing on this game, but I'm just really intrigued to see where this over under closes, because like you said, Andre, Igor, like under the lights in Madison Square Garden. And I think most people in New York are going to be paying attention to what's going on in the baseball world. So we might not even see that much action on it, which is a little interesting. So the market is truly just going to be the hockey bettors of the world rather than casual New York fans. So I think we're going to get a pretty interesting over under here. And speaking of, I want to try to transition real quick to a couple season long totals that I think not only are playable from a futures perspective, but also just to keep in mind of where these teams are being priced coming into the year. Colorado, 111.5 points. So you're telling me that this team is pretty likely to fall in between 110 and 120 if the over cashes. I don't know, Pete. I know they're the defending Stanley Cup champions, and this is a really good team, but the season, the NHL season is so long, and the depth is gone, and the goaltending questions are there, that I think they're being overpriced even after hoisting Lord Stanley.
Yeah, I mean, they lost a lot. They're starting the season without Gabriel Landeskog probably for at least a couple of weeks. They lost Nazem Kadri in free agency. They lost Darcy Kemper in free agency. They lost Andrei Burakovsky as well. So, you know, the Avalanche had 119 points last season. Could I see them being 10 points worse? I certainly could. So that's going to be an angle for them. I was looking in the same type of conversation where you see the Carolina Hurricanes had 116 points last season. And you can look at, and they improved in the offseason, of course, with Burns, and they're going to get Pacioretty back at some point. But 116 points for them last season, and you can look at them for the upcoming season and say you could get plus 270 on them to have 110 plus points. I mean, I think that's very realistic. So that was something that I pinpointed for the Hurricanes, because I do think they're going to be in play for the President's Trophy. Super deep offense, three strong goalies, a defense that I think has been stout through the years. So if we're looking at the upper echelon teams, you know, maybe coming down a little bit on Colorado is fair, coming down a little bit on the Florida Panthers is fair. And then to replicate or even build off the success from last regular season, I like the Hurricanes to do that.
Staying in that division too, another team that I run a bet against this year, especially early going, is New Jersey. 89.5 points, 90.5 points, depending on where you look for their over under. That's nearly 30 points. You're asking for a 30 point improvement from a team. And I know that the goaltending was struggled last year. They'll get a healthy Jack Hughes, but they're going to be without Nico Hischier for a little while. And I have questions about this team's ability to prevent scoring chances for a defense, for a goaltending tandem that needs you to do it. So the Devils being priced in the same kind of realm as the Islanders, as the Senators, is the Red Wings is a little bit better than the Red Wings, is a little off to me. I think that they're closer to the Senators and Red Wings than they are to the Islanders. And that tells you right away, I think they're going to be overvalued on a game-to-game basis. But here's the bad news. They play the Philadelphia Flyers this week, and that means I'll probably be betting the Philadelphia Flyers. And it's just, it's a numbers play. It's not going to, it's more likely than not that the Devils beat the Flyers in their season opener on Thursday. But you're going to get a good number on a Philadelphia team against a very beatable Devils team. So that over under for the Devils, 89.5 points, right away is telling me this is a fade team in the early going. And especially if they take care of Philadelphia, then they play Detroit, another winnable game. So they might get off to a hot start, and then you can buy back in on fading the Devils at even bigger prices. So the Devils are up there with the Avalanche and a couple other teams like the Panthers, like you said, Senators, as fade teams for me right out of the gates.
I'm totally on board with what you're saying about the Devils, because I think, I mean, you were talking up the Flyers. I don't think the Flyers are going to be a good team at all this year. I think there's going to be a big gap between the Flyers in last place to the Devils in second to last, and then maybe even another gap between them and the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I'm seeing with the Columbus Blue Jackets, their over-under is 80.5. I mean, for a much improved team that got the ripple effect from Johnny Gaudreau, we're about to see it. I think that team still has some pieces from previous years when they've done some damage in the playoffs. So I think that, like, the Blue Jackets maybe are a little underrated, especially if you consider that the Devils have a higher over under total than they do. I think that's points. A little out of whack. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so if that's a great example to bring up before a season starts, and this is not just in hockey, but every kind of sports gambling season, if you look at two teams, you expect are pretty close, like the Blue Jackets and Devils, and then you see a 10-point gap that's telling you, okay, this one is being probably overhyped and this one's being underhyped a little bit, because that's way too wide of a gap, and really tells you where the market views the Devils. And hey, maybe they're right, maybe we're missing something here, and the Devils cruise and maybe make the playoffs. But I think that the Blue Jackets and Devils have very similar flaws and question marks, and they're being priced like one is a playoff fringe playoff team, and the other one is heading to the lottery. Real quick before we head out of here, and we'll talk about a couple underdogs right at the end of the show, but I want to bring up one thing we talked about on the Fantasy on Ice betting preview. Dylan Holloway, I had talked about him being a potential Calder Trophy bet. He's taken a ton of money, and I think it's all because of one performance, and that was that hat trick that he had in the preseason. He went from 75-1 to 30-1.
Interesting.
Do you think that number is too short now for a player that nobody was really thinking was going to crack the top six for Edmonton and now might?
I mean, I think he has a chance. Like, when you look at their top six, you always see those names like Puljujarvi and Yamamoto, right? Like, those guys maybe don't even deserve to be there anymore. And with Holloway, if he brings a new wrinkle, remember, this is a team that got further than it has in a long, long time last year, and they're looking to build off that. So Holloway is one of their only chances to do that. Like, right, the differences in the team are Jack Campbell, who's going to be the starting goalie, and Dylan Holloway, who's going to be their rookie to integrate, hopefully, into the top six. So I'm not going to say it's a realistic chance, but I could see the scenario, like I know you can, Mike, where he slots into the top six, the rest is history. He scores 50 to 60 points and is a Calder top three finisher. So I do think there is a glimmer on Dylan Holloway. And then I also wanted to mention, involving the Oilers, their season opener is Wednesday against the Vancouver Canucks, who are loaded offensively. And I saw that you could get a plus number on the over for Vancouver, Edmonton. I mean, I think that's a really intelligent play, right? When you could definitely envision something like a 4-3 game or a 5-4 game coming out of Western Canada for that game.
Yeah, that could be our first seven of the season, which is pretty interesting when you consider one of the goaltenders in that matchup is Thatcher Demko, who I know a lot of people are really, really high on as a potential Vezina winner. But that just tells you what people expect out of this Oilers offense. And I think that maybe folks are overrating the impact that Jack Campbell will have as well as a goaltender. I think Campbell is right there. It's like he'll be either slightly above average or slightly below average when you look at his season long numbers. And that's really all the Edmonton Oilers need. I don't have a play on that one, but I think that my prediction for it would be that will be our first seven of the season, our first total to close at seven, considering the offense is going. And that's really interesting considering Demko's presence. All right, we got to get out of here. But before we do, and I hope this doesn't scare people away, we want to give out a couple underdogs that we're watching this week. And mine, like I said, I really hope this doesn't scare people away, but mine is the Philadelphia Flyers. And I backed this team to win the Wooden Spoon to have the worst record in the league this season, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to be betting them when the numbers call for it. And I think that they will in two spots, their season opener, like I touched on with the Devils. I think the Devils are a little overrated. And those same Canucks, they're traveling to the East Coast. They're playing a 4 p.m. game on Saturday afternoon in Philadelphia. And while the Canucks have plenty of scoring talent, their defense is a little questionable. So the matchup kind of suits the Flyers in a little bit. And this is once again, a stretch because the Flyers are going to be a big underdog even at home. But the Flyers, when you look at their roster, like where are the goals going to come from? But against a suspect defense like Vancouver's, I think there's a path to success here. So you're going to get the Flyers at big numbers all season. And you're going to get two right out of the gates against the overhyped Devils and the Canucks, who I think are maybe teetering on overhyped, but they have their flaws. So Philadelphia for me, unfortunately, that's my dog of the week. What about you?
Interesting. Yeah, I think the Sabres are a nice play on Thursday. There are a lot of good vibes around that team. A lot of youth. Cam Talbot is out for 5 to 7 weeks for the Ottawa Senators. So I really liked Anton Forsberg last season. He was top 10 minimum 40 games in save percentage in the whole league. That said, a road start against Buffalo is a little sneaky in Buffalo's favor, I think. So keep an eye on them in that spot. I also wanted to mention a couple other over-unders that I liked for the season. I think Buffalo over 78.5 is a little dicey, but I do like Winnipeg over 88.5. I think that Winnipeg could be top three in the Central Division, especially with St. Louis and Minnesota coming down a little bit with some of their offseason losses. I like LA Kings over 95.5. I think that that team is not that far behind the likes of Edmonton and Calgary near the top of the Pacific Division. Producer Bobby and I believe we're aligned with Minnesota under 101.5 points for the season. And then, just keep an eye on, some of those Buffalo make or miss the playoffs, the long shot. Mike, what's your long shot that you're looking at either for the upcoming week or for the upcoming season to go along with your play on Holloway from the Oilers?
Yeah, this is going to be the hill I'm going to die on this season. And it's the Washington Capitals at 40-1. To win the Stanley Cup is still my favorite long shot bet in the market. We saw it right after that playoff series end. Everybody was just couldn't wait to say this team is done. Their core is too old. The goaltending is going to be an issue. Their goaltending improved. They got younger in the top six with Connor Brown and Dylan Strome. And then I think Hendrix LaPierre and Connor McMichael will make an impact. So yeah, don't sleep on Washington. I can't believe I'm calling them a long shot in the Ovechkin era, but that's my favorite season long shot, man. And then, of course, the Flyers and Sabres to start the season. That's how you start a new betting show. You talk about betting on the Flyers and you talk about betting on the Sabres. Hopefully we don't scare everybody away. But Pete, this was a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to doing it more and more and getting a couple of the folks that I work with over at the Action Network and my co-host at Line Change, which is our betting NHL betting show every Tuesday and Thursday morning. I co-host it with Nick Martin, who actually is a Capitals fan. So he'll be thrilled to talk about the cast with you. But nice. I'm excited for your listeners to get to know them as well, because they're very sharp people.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a fun debut for this betting centric show that you can expect once a week, usually Monday afternoons. And I'll throw in one more long shot, Detroit Red Wings to have 90 plus points, is plus 210. I'm picking them to make the playoffs. I'm a big fan of the Iser plan. So get on board with Detroit. Maybe it won't happen this year, but I think there is a nice chance of it happening this year or next year. So for Michael Leboff, Pete Jensen, thanks again for listening. Go out and check out Fantasy on Ice, our betting preview, our bold predictions over there. Also check out Line Change with Michael Leboff, as he mentioned. So we'll talk to you again next week, the NHL and Action Network collab. Thanks for listening.